Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to General Conference. What a joy it is to be with you. You've been on my mind almost constantly during the past 6 months. I've prayed about you and for you. During recent weeks, I've prayed intently that this conference would be a time of revelation and reflection for all who seek those blessings. We are delighted to be speaking to you from the Conference Center once again. Most of the seats remain empty, but the presence of some members of the Tabernacle Choir is a wonderful step forward. We welcome you all to this largely virtual conference, wherever you are.
That's President Russell Nelson opening the 191st Semi-Annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints earlier this week. The Mormons meeting there in Salt Lake City. Well, what were they doing meeting in their general conference? What happens in a Mormon general conference? And there are some stories that came out of it having to do with the founding of 13 new Mormon temples. I wonder, does the planned construction of so many temples indicate real growth for global Mormonism, or is it planned growth for global Mormonism? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 6th of October. We're going to be talking about the 191st Semi-Annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly joins us. There has been quite a kerfuffle surrounding the Southern Baptist Convention. And it's not a matter of theology per se, but a matter of their practice. It has to do with sexual abuse and how the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention has been dealing with investigations into sexual abuse. It's a pretty thorny issue because the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't have a hierarchical system capable of dealing with church discipline. So it's been a mess. We'll talk about how the media has been covering it with Terry Mattingly of Get Religion. Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Why do Latter-day Saints hold their general conference?
Well, they hold it twice a year. They hold it in April, and they hold it again in October. And you might say that general conference is kind of a, well, to many Latter-day Saints, I guess you could say it's kind of a pep rally for them. This is where they hear their speakers, such as general authorities in the church and other leaders in the church, and they get not only encouragement, but also admonition. But conference is important because, as Ezra Taft Benson, the 13th president of the church, said, he likened them to the Latter-day Saints' marching orders for the next 6 months. And Howard W. Hunter, who was the 14th president of the church, he says, our modern-day prophets have encouraged us to make the reading of the conference editions of the church magazines an important and regular part of our personal study. He said, thus, general conference becomes, in a sense, a supplement or an extension to the Doctrine and Covenants. Now, that's a pretty big statement because the Doctrine and Covenants is part of the unique scripture belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They contain primarily revelations that were given to Joseph Smith, their founder. And what I think Howard Hunter is trying to get across in that statement is that you can look at statements that are made in general conference as being just as important, even scripture, though not part of the standard works of Mormon scripture, but they are actually the voice of God. And to prove this, let me cite you from Dieter F. Uchtdorf. When he made this comment, he was a member of the First Presidency, which is the top three leaders within the Mormon Church. He now serves as an apostle in the LDS Church, but Dieter F. Uchtdorf said, listen to General Conference with an ear willing to hear the voice of God through his latter-day prophets. So as you can imagine, General Conference is a big deal to Latter-day Saints, and it certainly is a big deal here in Utah.
So it is, in some sense, in a revelatory event. They believe that they're hearing from representatives of God in some official sense.
Yes, because a lot of the people who are speaking in General Conference are a part of the general authorities in the church. That would include the First Presidency, the Quorum of the Twelve, or the Twelve Apostles, and the 70s. Now, sometimes they will have lower-level 70s speak, but even though some of these positions might not seem as important compared to, let's say, the First Presidency or Quorum of the Twelve, when a leader speaks in General Conference, as Uthorf said, you can take that to the bank. That's something that the church wants the members to believe and probably act on as well. So whether or not that individual has a high standing of the church becomes kind of irrelevant. It's just the mere fact that they're speaking in conference, what they have to say is something that Latter-day Saints better take seriously.
For his part, the president, Russell Nelson, his reporting comments focused on a lot on the culture's moral decay. Is this a place where Christians can form some kind of alliance with the LDS?
That's a great question. I get asked that a lot. I think on a lot of these issues, we certainly can sympathize and empathize with each other, because I think socially where the LDS Church is and where Christianity as a whole is are probably very similar. The problem becomes in joining any type of official alliance. I've always been cautious about that. I've never said don't do it, but I've always been cautious because, unfortunately, the LDS Church in the past has usually taken these types of alliances with Christian organizations as a means of giving themselves some type of Christian legitimacy. I think that becomes dangerous, especially for people who do not really understand where the LDS Church is theologically. And I don't think we can neglect that, because let's face it, the LDS Church looks at us outside of their church as being a part of this great apostasy. And if we are somehow, by joining with them on some social cause, we give them some kind of Christian legitimacy, that can become very confusing to a lot of people who are not real familiar with the doctrines of the LDS Church.
The name of the church came up again, and one of the speakers even referred to the name as non-negotiable. Give us a little context for that.
Yeah, that was Mormon Apostle Neil Anderson. He's kind of an up-and-coming guy within the leadership of the church. But that was the name of his message. The name of the church is not negotiable. This goes along with what came out after 17th President Russell M. Nelson came into power. He has always had this real pet peeve about people calling the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, by its nickname, the Mormon Church. But he even went further than that. He also has a problem with Mormons referring to themselves as Mormons. He likes them to use the phrase Latter-day Saints. He doesn't like the word Mormonism or anything like that, which was really confusing when he did this, because up until 2018, when this came down in another General Conference message, the LDS Church had been using the word Mormon and Mormonism all the time. They had a website called Mormon.org. They had films called, you know, Meet the Mormons. They were using that word quite often with no problems whatsoever. Gordon B. Hinckley, a past president of the church, he even wrote a book that used the word Mormon in the title, and in the book he refers to the church as the Mormon Church. Hinckley didn't seem to have a problem with that, but then along comes Russell M. Nelson, and he takes it to a level never heard of before, where he actually gave the impression that using the word Mormon when speaking of the church was like helping out Satan or something that Jesus would be upset about. Because as they argue, the official title of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But not only became the title, in 1838. Up until then, it was known as the Church of Christ originally. And then in 1834, the name of the church was changed to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. So personally, I've said this even publicly, I think this whole name thing is kind of silly. But the Mormons were making a big deal out of it in General Conference, saying that since they changed the name, or they didn't really even change it, they just started emphasizing the official name, that somehow that has given them a new type of legitimacy among many who maybe didn't know that Jesus has a role in the worship of Latter-day Saints. I don't know how true that is statistically, but this is certainly some things that they have heard, and so they use these anecdotes in that talk.
LDS President Russell Nelson announced the construction of 13 new Mormon temples worldwide. Does the planned construction of so many temples indicate real growth for global Mormonism, or is this planned growth?
That's a great question. It's kind of hard to say. I don't think it's because of real growth, because the LDS Church, at least statistically, has been growing, yes, but certainly not at a rate that it has grown in the past. Let me just give you an example. Back in 2006, for instance, they had 272,845 converts. 10 years later, that number was only 240,131. Now, I wouldn't say it's fair to use the convert baptism rate for the number of converts last year, because let's be serious, 2020 was kind of a messed up year for everybody. But they only gained 125,930 converts last year. But that's because a lot of their missionaries had been pulled back. They weren't out in the field knocking on doors and doing what they normally do. But the fact is, the reason for the temples, I think, has more to do with Nelson's emphasis on the soon return of Christ. And a comment was made in the August 2021 edition of the Liahona magazine by Mormon leader Dallin H. Oaks. He's a member of the First Presidency. He said, "We are accelerating the building of temples where the faithful can gather in their own homelands to make covenants that allow them to be eligible for eternal life." And I think Oaks is correct, because temple participation is absolutely essential if a Latter-day Saint hopes to get the best their religion offers them. If they have an opportunity to go to the temple and they refuse to do so, there will be consequences for that Latter-day Saint in the next life come Judgment Day.
So do any of these locations surprise you for the temples?
You know, the one that kind of surprised me was the announcement of a temple to be built in Rexburg, Idaho. Rexburg already has a temple, yet it only has a population of around 40,000 members. I think maybe the reason they're doing that is because Rexburg is home to a Brigham Young University campus. And it could be because that BYU campus, emphasizing the fact that students that go there should be serious about their LDS faith, there probably is going to be a bit of a higher percentage of temple-worthy members because of BYU. That could be the reason, but that one did kind of surprise me a little bit. Some of the other ones in foreign countries, I'm not too totally shocked, because they've been putting temples in areas of the world where they really don't have a high LDS population at all. In those cases, the temples merely become a huge advertisement, you might say, for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because they do spark curiosity and probably get locals to start asking their LDS friends what those buildings are all about.
Any other stories coming out of the General Conference that we should make note of?
Well, something that was said by Brad Wilcox caught my attention. Brad Wilcox is the second counselor in what they call the Young Men General Presidency. The Young Men General Presidency serves under the direction of the First Presidency, and they oversee activities of their young men between the ages of 12 and 18. Brad Wilcox is kind of popular because he likes to talk like an evangelical. And he made some comments in his conference message about worthiness is not flawlessness. I think the reason that he gave a talk like this is because he was addressing what is a real problem in the LDS Church when it comes to discouragement. A lot of Latter-day Saints are very discouraged in their walk with their church because I think the bar is raised so high, a lot of members, they kind of give up and realize, well, I'm never going to meet that high bar. So instead of hoping to get to the celestial kingdom, the top level of Mormon heaven, many of them are content to go to the terrestrial. I think they had Brad Wilcox up there to give this talk to try to let him know, hey, keep going, keep trying, you could do it. He actually used the phrase, never give up just because we slip up. Brad Wilcox is a master at using these little catchphrases. But still, in his talk, he talks about the need to keep all the commandments and also how you must qualify to receive temple blessings. Well, keeping all the commandments, qualifying for temple blessings involves works. And I think that high number of works that an individual must do is probably what's leading a lot of Latter-day Saints to the discouragement.
With that said, do you think that Wilcox is someone to watch in the leadership of Mormonism?
I think he's someone to watch and also watch very closely. And the reason I say that is because Brad Wilcox can be very confusing. He throws out a lot of evangelical language, but I don't think he's moving in our direction. And if I was to talk to him personally and I was to say, hey, Brad, sounds like you're getting rid of all your Mormon doctrine and all that baggage that's causing discouragement. Glad to see you're coming our way. I don't think Brad Wilcox would think that. I don't think at all that he wants to come towards what his church views as apostate Christendom. But I think at the same time, the church is between a rock and a hard place. Telling it like it is very discouraging. So they have to come up with what I call some real theological spin in order to make a lot of their members feel better about themselves.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. You'll find links to these books and to Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Bill, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
When we return on this Wednesday afternoon, we'll talk about media coverage of the sex abuse scandal in the Southern Baptist Convention. Terry Mattingly of Get Religion will be our guest. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Have you ever been overwhelmed by everything that's in the Book of Concord, all the names and documents and the historical context? Well, in 2006, Concordia Publishing House, through the work of the Reverend Paul McCain, published the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, a fantastic guide for anyone interested in digging more into Lutheran theology. The Lutheran Witness for the October issue is all about helping you get into this resource. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan; Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida; Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon; St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania; St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri; and Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.